Real World DevOps on the Maui Team.
The Azure DevOps Podcast is a show for developers and DevOps professionals shipping software using Microsoft technologies. Each show brings you hard-hitting interviews with industry experts, innovating better methods, and sharing success stories. Listen on to learn how to increase quality, ship quickly, and operate well. And now your host, Jeffrey Palermo.
Welcome to the show. I'm Jeffrey Palermo, your host, for helping you and your teams move fast, deliver quality, and run your software with confidence in Azure, all while using everything that the .NET ecosystem has to offer. And I'm doing a ton of online user group speaking, as are others. And so if you run a .NET or Azure-related user group, I know I for one, would love to give a presentation for you and others as well. So reach out. Our sponsor for this episode is ClearMeasure, and they make this podcast happen. They're a software architecture company that empowers .NET teams to be self-sufficient and able to deliver world-class results. So if they can help, please get in touch. And also, make sure to check out the new video show, the video podcast, Architect Tips, that's gotten rolling and more tips to come. So today on the show, we have two really interesting guests. We have Alex Blount and Swiki Satpathy. And Alex is a principal software engineer manager on the customer engagement team for the Microsoft Developer Edition. And Swiki is a senior software engineer on the same team. So welcome to you both. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you for having us.
Yep.
Awesome. Well, just before we jump into the techie bits, getting to know you a little bit, Alex, we'll start with you. What's your journey been? How long have you been on this team, and what did you before that?
Just actually hit 5 years at Microsoft, which is absolutely amazing, and I can't believe how quickly that time's gone. Prior to that, to getting into actual software development, I started out without going to college. Didn't really kind of know what I wanted to do with my life. And then kind of found a passion for software engineering pretty late on in my life. Didn't start until I was 29. And then I was self-taught, started learning VB.NET, which I can't remember any of now, which is crazy. C# has taken over my life. Started developing WinForms and kind of moved on to things like WPF. And then when the iPhone came out, I remember kind of listening to a podcast with Miguel de Acasa, and he was kind of like really excited about getting .NET running on an iPhone. And I was like, wow, that's amazing. I need to take a look at that. Mm-hmm. And started playing around with Mono and Mono Touch. Eventually kind of got really, really into the community, doing bindings for Xamarin. And I was lucky enough to get a job at Xamarin. And since then, I've been kind of helping customers get the best out of their Xamarin applications, their .NET for mobile applications. And it's kind of now grown where we're doing that and many, many more things here at Microsoft. So it's been a great journey over what feels like a very long period of time that's gone very quickly, if that makes sense.
It does. And Swiki, how about you?
I feel like I'm completely opposite to Alex. I went to school both for my bachelor's and my master's for computer science. So I did know what I wanted to do for a long time, which was to work for Microsoft, which is the running family gag at the moment. I did an internship at Microsoft in Dubai. And that's when I first, found out about UWP and Windows Phone. That was the Windows Phone era when I did my internship. So that was like sort of my starting, building blocks into the world of mobile and C#. And back then, one of my mentors then had mentioned Xamarin to me, but I never really checked it out. But once I was done with my master's, Xamarin had become actually pretty popular. So I was like, ooh, let me see if I can, work for them. So that's when I applied. And that's when they let me come in and join their awesome team. And yeah, like Alex said, it's now been like 5 years. So coming back as a full-time from an intern has been pretty awesome to come back to Microsoft. It was best internship ever. So yeah, it's been pretty awesome. And I guess I've just because of the way I've been sort of studying and working a little and studying again. I kind of bounced around with different technologies. So grad school was a lot of like Python, because that's kind of like what a lot of the grad school stuff is, a bit of C++. But I feel all the time, though, ever since I learned C#, it's always been my favorite. So
yeah, nice. And you also are on Learn TV. You have a Hello World show.
Yep, I host, so Learn TV has an awesome daily show that runs for 30 minutes, 10:30 a.m. PST. It's called Hello World, and I am the host for the Friday shows. So yeah.
Awesome. So you're on internet TV.
Yes,
every
yes,
Friday. Fantastic.
Yep.
All right, well, let's jump right in. So lots of people talking about Maui for people who you've been using Xamarin, a lot of this is old hat, but there's a lot of .NET developers that haven't kind of jumped into mobile yet. And this fall, everybody's looking this fall for Visual Studio 2022 and Maui and big .NET 6 release. And we've talked about that with other guests on the show. And so you guys are deep into the work of actually setting up and running all kinds of things in the developer edition. But one thing I wanted to dig in with you is actually how the Maui team, the people writing code for the product, do DevOps for themselves and for these types of applications. Because a lot of developers this fall are going to be trying out those Maui applications and file new project. And it's going to be some new things for that are different than maybe just setting up a Azure App Service web application on SQL Server in for a DevOps environment. So maybe we can give a rundown. What products does the team use together, first off, and then we can dig into how they're configured.
Yeah, so I guess we can kind of give some backstory around. So what our team really does is we will we'll go out and actually help our customers that are using our products to be successful with them. So we'll help them kind of with their Xamarin projects. We'll help them understand what a good process for DevOps is when they want to build their Xamarin applications, whether that be enterprise applications or applications that they're actually going to be publishing for consumers and the store. So that's given us a really good grounding into kind of what that will look like for .NET Maui. And kind of one of the good things is that a lot of the understanding that customers already have for a Xamarin application will transfer straight through to .NET Maui. And new developers that are coming to .NET Maui will be able to kind of use a lot of the pre-made things that are already out there in Azure DevOps in GitHub Actions to really kind of get their DevOps process set up easily to the level that they need. And you can be as granular as you need. So, I can kind of let Sweeki kind of talk some more about specifics, but we generally recommend our customers when we're working with them to use either Azure DevOps or GitHub Actions for their continuous integration continuous deployment. One of the cool things is that with Azure DevOps, there are so many built-in tasks that building a pipeline for a Xamarin application and what will be a .NET Maui application it's kind of like building a Lego house. There are so many kind of pre-made tasks that you can use and fill in the required pieces that it's a really, really easy process. And there's some great documentation out there to help you with that. So yeah, Sweeki, anything just as a kind of precursor that you wanted to say around that?
It's actually, I personally feel like it's going to be a lot easier moving forward to set up pipelines for your Maui applications than it was for Xamarin. The biggest advantage being everything is going to fall under .NET, meaning the .NET CLI, which was not always available to Xamarin app projects before, will now be available. And that basically simplifies so many of your pipelines. It makes you super happy. So, yeah.
Okay. Now, because it's going to be .NET 6, I think we expect that a lot of the build and the unit testing libraries and all that stuff will just be, hey, it's regular C#, regular code. But for the new stuff, which effectively the user interface, the controls, spinning it up in an emulator, what do level 3 tests look like? Tests that have to take the user interface into account. What libraries, what techniques are you using now in the teams to handle that?
Well, kind of one of the great things is you have an absolute expert on this call around testing mobile applications. We generally recommend that you go through several different stages as part of your CI process, especially for mobile applications. And I think this is one of the things that customers usually kind of hit a brick wall in terms of understanding how they should go forward with it. Because kind of you're building a web application, you're building an API. There's a certain understanding that if you want to test that API or that web application, you deploy it to one place and you can then either point your automated tests at it or you can point your internal users at it and say, hey, go test it and let us know what you kind of see, and we'll also kind of record all of this telemetry. When a developer comes to a mobile application, it's like, oh wow, how do I test this? Where do I deploy it to? How do I know that I'm testing it on everything that I need to test it on? So we'll, at a high level, we'll generally say, look, the best thing that you can do is, first of all, test your shared code. Test your .NET code. Run some unit tests. Have that be very, one of the first things that you do is it's very quick. It's a lot quicker than actually kind of building an entire mobile application and testing that. So have that as your first gate to understand whether or not that code is up to the quality that you need it to be at. The next stage of testing is using something called App Center Test. So we have a product at Microsoft called App Center, which has various different services that allow you to kind of build different parts of your CI. And one of those is App Center Test. That allows you to actually run your applications on real devices and be able to then run tests against them. So we have a library called UI Test, which will allow you to write your tests in C#. You can then run those tests against your applications that are running on these live devices. iOS and Android devices of all different kind of shapes, sizes, ages, so you can really, really get an understanding if the UI is in a place where you need it to be. So Tweaky, I'll let you, as I say, you're the expert around UI tests, so I'll definitely let you jump in there.
Yeah, sure. Yes, I am the one person who's always chanting test all the time. Definitely test is important. If you don't have tests, I'm not going to say you have to go write a completely super big test suite, but every bug you find, write a test against it. And in 5 days you have a test suite. So that's my thinking of it. But speaking of it from a DevOps pipeline point of view, what Alex said, let me break that down into an actual pipeline, what that would translate into. So as you would, you will clone your code. The first step inside of that would be to build your application, of course. After you build your application, traditionally people want to publish it or deploy it to wherever they want it to go to. My recommendation always at that point is to, before putting in the publish stage, because now you can run pipeline in stages, you want to maybe put in a test stage in there. And that's where it gets interesting, because in a mobile application, like Alex was saying, there's a trade-off between being able to test something quickly. That's the best way to do that is through a unit test versus doing it with a automated UI test, which whatever tooling you use in the market out there does have a turnover time. So we're talking about like at least 15 to 20 minutes for the test to run, generate a report, and come back and report it to your CI. So that's where the trade-off stands. So my personal belief would be to always throw in a unit test. So even if it's a dev check or a PR check pipeline that you have, make sure after your build process, you're running some sort of test just to make sure that you're not merging bad code or, you know, before you move on to the next feature development, you know, whatever you had before is working, right? Makes sense. And then after that, of course, publish it to wherever you need to. That sort of brings us to the second, you know, discussion point, that's actually UI testing. Again, with UI testing, it gets very tricky with mobile phones because there's two ways you could do it. So you could have just spin it up on an emulator and, you know, click things and, you know, okay, I, as a developer on my desk alone, have declared it works. But you may also have, you may want to like, okay, I don't want to sit and click it. I want to automate this process. So again, spin it up on your emulator or on a device on your desk, run the automated tests. And again, but you alone as you're not verifying this against anybody else. You're just like, no, on my device, which I own, which to be honest, always works on your machine, but
works
never
on my box.
Exactly. So that's not a perfect sense of, you know, app working or not. So that's where the UI automation tools come into play. So let's talk about the options of UI automation tools that we have in the market at the moment, which then sort of leads into how you want to fit it into your DevOps pipeline. So like Alex said, we have App Center Test, and App Center Test, which allows you to run these automated test sets on our labs and our device labs, which are like actual devices which will be running your tests. And like he said, we have a huge gamut of devices available. So picking your tool, UI testing tool of choice, to make sure you're making the best use of all these devices available. So UI tests at the moment support, so like Alex said, this Xamarin UI test, that's, you can write your automation tests in C#. If you want to go down the native route, that works too. You can use XE UI test on iOS, or you can use Espresso on Android. And we also support Appium at the moment. So these are the tools that are available to you based on how proficient you are in whichever language you pick. Pick whichever works best and write your tests. So now that you have these tests ready, and you know, so you can run them on a local environment, or of course upload them up to here. Plugging this into your DevOps pipeline is where you need to maybe spend like a little bit of time in figuring out what works best. So these tests, based on as how many devices you run and the size of your test suite, that's a sizable amount of time. So if you're talking about maybe a 45-minute test run versus a 2 to 3 hour test run, depending on, you know, what you're trying to do here. So if like, so ideally you'd want these tests to run, but run in a way that doesn't block your release or your, you know, pipeline process. That's why making it part of a dev pipeline or a PR check pipeline is a bit of an overkill, because that's a lot. But you do want to make sure that you're running these tests if there's something that's merging into your main branch, because that's what your production code is going to be. You may also want to make sure that this is part of the final release pipeline to make sure you're not, your actual product, final product, is not pushing that out. My personal favorite thing to do though is scheduled tests. So I'd have a scheduled pipeline, maybe like a nightly or a weekly, that runs these UI tests, maybe across all the branches that we own, or maybe just the main branches, you know, maybe main and dev and maybe some other feature branch. But that definitely adds a lot of value. Plus it's asynchronous enough that it shouldn't break your development cycle. So that's how I would structure putting these tests into a DevOps pipeline.
Okay. So this UI test library that you talked about, is that just a NuGet library, or where do people get that? Okay. And what layer does it operate at? Is it on top of the emulator, or is it under, does it not have to spin up an emulator in order? I'm guessing it types in text boxes. It clicks on elements, taps on elements.
Mm-hmm. Yep. It's above. So it runs side by, think of it running parallel to your actual app. So yes, it does need to actually spin up an emulator or run directly on a device. So that's why it works great with App Center Tests, because like I said, those go straight to the devices. But locally, if you want to run these tests, you have to have an emulator open or have a device open. And that's why it's convenient to use App Center Tests, because they handle all that for you. You don't have to sit and write a script that, you know, spins up an emulator on your VM or your box. Nope. All you do is literally just upload the DLLs of your test or your test files based on, you know, whichever testing framework you're using. You basically just upload the test file object itself, and you tell it, hey, run it on these devices, and that it'll handle everything for you and give you back awesome, you know, a nice UI with awesome results. Yep.
And you can imagine, so there's one common pitfall that we definitely see that customers fall into, is that they'll come to these tests and it's like, oh, this is so cool, we can run our tests on these 3,000 devices, let's do that. And then it's like, why is this taking literally 3 days for us to get any feedback back from this? So it's like you really, I think, as kind of Sweeky said, you really have to be very specific about why you're running these tests and at what stage you're running these tests and what you want the output to be. Because you can kind of have a weekly build, which is like, these are our top 20 or top 30 devices that we know our users are running this application on. We're going to run this every night, and we're going to get that feedback back. And if there's something breaking, we'll pass that back to the developers. We're going to then maybe take the top 100 devices and we can run that weekly. And if we also want to make sure that our app is running on real devices on a nightly, you could take kind of the top one or two devices and run it on those and just run a very basic smoke test to ensure that it is actually running on a real device. Because one of the things that we definitely see that developers kind of don't have is access to lots of real devices, or even a real device at all. You can sometimes see that a developer will have to just rely on the simulator throughout their dev cycle. So they never really have an understanding of whether or not there's going to be something specific to it running on the device that will be an issue. So having that kind of really quick feedback loop and using something like AppSense Test is a great way of doing that, ensuring that you're kind of not expecting to be able to run tests on 2,000 devices on every check-in.
Many thanks to our podcast sponsor, Clear Measure. Clear Measure is a software architecture company that empowers clients' development teams to be self-sufficient, moving fast, delivering quality, and running their systems with confidence. Whether starting a new project or developing new technologies or techniques, Clear Measure sets up your team to deliver world-class results. Learn more at www.clearmeasure.com. Clear Measure, empowering software delivery.
There's one technique that a lot of developers use with Azure pipelines for web applications when testing with Selenium, and that is every action on the user interface, take a screenshot. And then when something breaks, they can see the progression of screenshots. Is that natively built into AppCenter as well, where you can catalog every screenshot with every action?
Yep, it is. That's one of the my favorite parts of AppCenter test is, apart from like it giving you logs, which are test logs, as well as the actual device logs when your app is running. So you get detailed logs from both ends. But yes, screenshots are the next awesome feature of AppCenter test. So for every, and you configure the screenshots. So it's like you get to pick, like, okay, after this act, like, as you're writing your tests, you are the one who manually control where you want these screenshots to be. So, which I think is another good power, because A, you're not excessively taking too many screenshots that can slow down your test. So again, you have that nuanced control on how you want to configure these tests. And like you said, there are screenshots. So exactly, fill in if based on how you want to structure your tests, which is, like, I think another important, like deciding the test itself is a very important thing, and that should determine how and when you want these screenshots to be taken. So yes, the report gives you a beautifully set up, the report is beautiful to look at. First of all, the UI is gorgeous, and you have screenshots per step. So you step it as you step in, it makes your gallery, if you've run it up against more than one device. If it's just one device, you get like the one main focus device, but you click into it and you can see every single, step, and you can see the screenshot of how, which is very important because, UI test. So yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now for the release candidate of a MAUI app, what format does it take, and where's the right place to archive those? Is it Azure Artifacts, or is it something else with MAUI?
Well, okay, so this is a great question, because it's a little bit of change thinking when you're coming from any other type of web development into mobile development specifically. When your app is ready to publish, there's actually the way it usually goes is you get the binaries, that's your actual app. So of course, yes, you can totally publish it to, Azure Pipelines, the artifact drop, you can totally do that. And that gives you a version of the app. The problem with mobile apps is distributing it. So one, if you have your binary in the pipeline, you cannot just simply give it to some tester or anybody else and be like, hey, install it on your phone. It's not going to start working, just the way that the distribution works in mobile land. So there's actually, I guess, two ways you can handle, you know, the way you want to distribute your release candidate, right? So if this is something that you're looking to maybe just test, so like maybe internal testing or beta testing, or just to go to your testers, there's two popular ways to do it. The each individual store, so like Play Store and the Apple Store, have like services inside of them that let you do these beta testing. So your release technically will go to them. So it's kind of basically like doing a submission to the store, but it won't go to won't be public facing. Mm-hmm. So okay. You put them into like a beta track or like in test flight in iOS, and then that. Then, you know, you register your users and they get notifications, hey, there's something new to test. The other way to do it is going back to App Center. App Center does have a distribute service in them. So that's a little less scary than submitting to the store, because it's essentially just kind of like publishing to Azure Artifact, but you put it to App Center and they actually help handle the whole distribution process. So they make it they help distribute the binaries in a way that someone can go to just this one web page and, you know, and it'll install it on their devices. So that's another way to sort of handle how do you want to release it. And then the final one is the main release, the big daddy of all, which is the actual store submission. So depending again on like how you want to structure it, ideal way to do it would be if you have a beta, you know, version of your app, send it either to one of the testing, you know, the test scenarios in each store, or send it to App Center. Once you have a completely, you know, 100% confirmed this is the release candidate, you'll have to use a separate, like, you know, put in a separate task in your DevOps pipeline that goes to the actual store submission.
Gotcha. So, okay.
I think there's that. It's really interesting as well. The customers that we work with generally will use these different things at different stages. So for instance, on a nightly, they will have a build that will go to their dev team. So they'll actually push out a release through App Center that will go to a very small group. It's only the developers. They can kind of test it, and they're using it every day, and they're using kind of the hottest pieces that are available. On a weekly build, that will then go out to kind of key stakeholders, and it will go out to a kind of a larger, slightly larger group of testers. And they just kind of slowly, as they become more confident on the build quality, they will kind of distribute it to more and more people internally, and then get to the stage, as Sweeki said, you can then push it to test flight to be able to test it publicly. If it's a consumer facing application, or if you're using something like Intune, you can then use that to push out to a group of your actual users if you're an enterprise, and then finally push it to production. So it's great that you can kind of really stage your approach and ensure that you're getting all of the feedback that you need to kind of roll back into your development process.
I just realized I forgot to add one useful piece of information. All these different steps and tasks that we're talking about, they are individual, tasks in your DevOps pipeline or even in your GitHub's action pipeline. These tasks are pre-made, they're already there in your, so if you search for it in Azure DevOps, you'll actually find each and every one of these tasks that we just talked about. So the App Center one, the distribute to Google Play Store, and the ones to distribute to App Store. And a common question attached to all of, also another thing that comes into any release situation is versioning. So you also want to be careful about versioning. And also there are tasks, you can of course use the build ID and, you know, have your little script that sort of does it for you, which a lot of people are kind of familiar with. But if you're not, there are tasks like James Wandermagno has a really awesome task that helps you handle basically versioning in a mobile app. So all of these, there are pre-made tasks for it. And in case, you know, you're like, hey, I don't use Azure DevOps, or, you know, I don't use GitHub Actions, all of these are command line tools. So it's just a matter of installing these in whatever, so if it's Jenkins or whatever you're using, it's just a matter of, you know, installing that command line tool and doing these exact steps that we just described.
Right. Now, with so many of the projects there at Microsoft being open source, the code is public on GitHub, are there any pipeline configurations that you know of that are in repositories where listeners could just go and literally look at the structure of someone's pipeline?
We do, actually. I was just telling Alex about this last week. So if you go into the, I think it's called the MAUI samples repo now, not the Net6 samples repo, the MAUI samples repo, there is actually, they have, you can look at the Azure pipelines that they're using to build the MAUI samples. So if you're feeling completely lost about how do I get something set up for MAUI, or if you're someone who's coming from a previous Xamarin pipeline and moving to, you know, looking how to like move this into MAUI, just go into, I can find the link for that. But basically, if you go into the MAUI samples repo, they do have a couple of, you know, startup, like the pipelines that the samples are run against. Those are great starting points. The hottest tip I have for the moment, I guess, is if everyone's not tried it yet, check out the MAUI check tool. That's basically your lifesaver at this moment. So because at the moment, since it's still in a lot of like preview bits, you need specific Net6 preview bits and stuff to get things, you know, working. My recommendation, and I've personal experience, I did this to get James Clancy's Comet, you know, pipelines working, because those are also now using MAUI and Net6. So even if you're building a library that is not even an app, so if you're building a Xamarin or a MAUI library, same process applies. The first check, the first recommendation to be from me will be to run the MAUI check on your CI box, which is very straightforward to do. It's a .NET tool. The steps are in there, and he even has a special --- CI flag, which basically makes the whole check tool work non-interactively. And you can add flags to skip specific tooling things on your box if you know it's already installed, or things like, you know, emulator checks and stuff, because you don't technically need that on a CI machine. So recommendation would be to run that. That will 100% make sure your whole machine is set up as it needs to be, as I learned myself. And even if you look at the now MAUI samples, that's literally the first step that, you know, they're recommending to do. And that's it. After that, it's really straightforward. That's like the main trick to get your environment up and running. And then it's like I was saying, the advantage we have now with MAUI is we can just use the .NET to do everything. So it's literally a matter of doing .NET build, .NET test, .NET publish. I'm sorry, not .NET publish, but like .NET build, .NET test. And if you're locally on your machine, it's .NET run. But if it's on your CI machine, you wouldn't be doing a .NET run. Right. So, yeah.
Okay. So as we close up, let's tackle the, I guess, the final frontier of DevOps, which is the telemetry. We got all these apps and different versions out there running. How do we structure it so that we're getting the information that we need so that we know what's going on?
So App Center, again, has an analytics and crash reporting service. It's so, so easy to integrate into your applications. It works for Xamarin iOS, Xamarin Android, and will work for MAUI, for .NET, .NET for iOS and .NET for Android. And again, it's kind of one of those things where it's, you can have it where it's as simple as literally like one or two lines of code to turn on crash reporting. And every time you get a crash, it will, the next time the app opens, it will push the stack trace, device information through to App Center, so you can actually see kind of, okay, hey, it's like this button that was pressed that is crashing my app, or it's this HTTP request. That is just a great start. You get so much information out of that. And then on top of that, it also has analytics. So if you then want to start kind of tracking how many times a particular view is displayed inside the application, or if a certain kind of, you have a checkout flow and you're only getting to a certain point before people drop off, you can do that. And it's really, really easy to set that up. And it's very, very useful for your internal testing kind of stages. So as you're testing with your internal teams and you're testing development builds, you can get really, really good feedback on kind of where things are crashing, where things are failing, and really, really useful when it's out there in the wild as well. And you're just getting that information back from the end users that are using the application.
Okay, awesome. Swiki, is there anything you'd like to add on the telemetry front?
Basically what Alex said, it's literally add one NuGet package, one line of code, and you everything that Alex described, you get for free just by doing add one NuGet package, add one line of code. And then the customized bit, like he was talking about, like tracking someone going up to the check-in point, is just a matter of lining maybe another. It's like literally appcenter.track, and you just put in the event name you want to track. So again, it's just one more line of code. So everything that we're talking about is not really expensive as, you know, dev work to add. It's just a matter of just like committing to it and just like just doing it. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
So as far as product strategy, is Microsoft aligning app service for mobile telemetry and application insights to server-side telemetry?
And so one of the cool things is, so App Center is definitely targeted at your client applications, but you can actually take the information that you get from App Center and roll that into App Insights. So you can effectively have App Center as your bucket for where your information is coming into, but App Insights can be the kind of the final resting location. Mm. So you can kind of do all of your reporting and everything like that. You can also pass IDs between them. So it means that if you're running your API in Azure, you can effectively pass an ID for an API call. So if your client application makes a request to an API, it will pass an ID through. That will then get tracked all the way through, which means that if something is actually causing your mobile application to crash, but it's because of a kind of like a 502 or an error on your API, you can actually track that all the way through. So all of these things work really, really well together. It's definitely a case of you can use them all independently and you're going to get some great output from them, but bringing them all together is definitely going to be a great thing.
Okay. Awesome. That makes a lot of sense. It's always good getting the strategy where things are going, because there's so many moving parts. It's like, oh yeah, I know what this is now, but next year we're expecting to get here.
For sure. I'm just very excited. Everything is going to fall on the .NET. So you don't have to, you know, jump between MS Build for some projects and having to use .NET Build for another project and having it's like, if you looked at a Xamarin pipeline at the moment, it's like four different ways to build a project, maybe four other ways to run your tests. Yeah, it's a little hairy at the moment. I'm looking forward to having it all streamlined, and having done a couple of pipelines now, it's definitely a lot less stressful. So pretty exciting.
Okay. We're only a few months away from this big release. And it's okay if you don't know, but is there anyone that you're aware of writing a early release book on MAUI development?
So in terms of books, I don't know of anyone off the top of my head. I do know internally we are ensuring that all of our documentation, and we also have an architecture guide, as it were, that is also having a lot of work done it to make sure that it's going to be ready for MAUI on release. So there's going to be a wealth of information out there ready for our developers as and when we get to that release in November.
Lots of blog posts, yeah.
And is there a path off of docs.microsoft.com, or where should people go to find that?
Yes, I can definitely send you a link to that, and you can have it in the show notes if that would work.
Absolutely. And any other resources that we can include in the show notes for the listeners, hey, the more the better, so that they can start ramping up.
Definitely, in terms of kind of right now, the docs that we have for building Azure pipelines is great for Xamarin. So I think that would be a great place to have a look. And in terms of just looking at MAUI applications, we recently just had build, and David Ortonau showed off his weather application that he built in .NET MAUI. I think that's a great thing to go and look at to get a feel for what .NET MAUI is going to look like in the future and right now with Preview4.
Is that one of those MAUI samples, or is that a separate GitHub repo?
Separate.
Yes, it's separate, yes, it in is. David's repo at the moment.
Yeah. Right. I was like, there's a lot of like smaller samples and stuff that's going to pop up as we get closer. My tip would be to stay tuned to the blogs. There is going to be a bunch of blogs that will come out targeting on like different areas, like converting your app, or, you know, converting a library, or starting brand new app, starting a brand new MAUI library and things like that. So just keep an eye out. The blog posts are also incoming.
Awesome. And we'll be including the link to David's, I think he calls it the Weather 21 repository.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, that was demo.
If you notice, there is no CI on it. So if you want to please go and give him crap for it, go ahead.
The last minute conference demo doesn't have a full DevOps environment.
I feel like I kid right now. And then as soon as we get off this, I'm going to be asked to go add CI to it. So who knows? Yeah.
You definitely just gave yourself work this week.
And for listeners who have just come onto the Azure DevOps podcast, we actually interviewed David Ortnow, show 142. A couple episodes back from this one. So good stuff. All right. Well, thank you both, Alex and Sweekey, for the time and coming onto the show and giving us all that DevOps perspective on MAUI applications. This is great.
It's our pleasure. Yeah, I really appreciate having us on. It's been great.
Awesome to talk. I'm always ready to talk DevOps. So, yep.
Absolutely. All right. Thank you. And until next time, keep shipping.
You've been listening to the Azure DevOps Podcast, a show for developers and DevOps professionals shipping software using Microsoft technologies. Go to www.azuredevops.show for show notes and other episodes. On behalf of your host, Jeffrey Palermo, and our sponsors, thanks for listening, and may God bless you.